Turn to Finance and Budget, Chair Jason McKinney.
All right, there's four items on our agenda today. The first of which is acceptance of the auditor's reports for WKYU-TV and WKYU-FM radio for the year ended June 30th, 2020. Susan, do you have something, a presentation, or do you want to go straight to Brad?
Yes, we do have a PowerPoint. So, Jeff, if you could pull that up. So while Jeff is pulling it up, let me just say that before I turn it over to our managing partner with Crow, Brad Shilley, for our radio and our TV, both were clean audits, unqualified opinions, which is the best you can get in an audit. With the NCAA agreed upon procedures, there were no exceptions noted. Again, good report. And so with those introductory comments, I will turn it over to Brad Shilley with Crow. And Jeff, if you'll advance the slides one more, and then the next one will be where Brad starts.
Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Susan. Glad to be with you all this morning to walk through some of the results of the WKU TV and FM financial statements, and then also go through the NCAA agreed upon procedures. So we'll start with the I always like to present this slide as we're going through, because in many times presenting to you two or three times a year, and you may be wondering, you know, what I'm presenting about this time. So just to lay that out there, this time we'll be covering the TV and FM financial statements, and as I mentioned, the NCAA agreed upon procedures. Back in October, we went through the rest of the other reports listed here, the audit report for the university, single audit, and then the other required communication, either by audit standards or by Kentucky requirements. Go ahead to the next slide. There you go. So just a high-level overview from TV and FM radio. As Susan mentioned, we did provide unmodified or unqualified opinions on both sets of financial statements, which is the highest level of assurance. Means it's a clean opinion and free of material misstatements. We issued both of those just earlier this month, about a week ago, for the June 30, 2020 fiscal year end. Those audits and a certification are required by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And so that certification was also completed, shortly thereafter, when the financial statements were finalized. Next slide. I wanted to provide just a little bit of financial information. I believe you have the financial statements with you, or a link to those, but this kind of gives you a high-level overview of those two entities. So in the upper section is the TV information. In the lower section is the FM radio section. So this just gives you a snapshot, looking at total assets and deferred outflows, liabilities and deferred inflows, and the net position for TV, and looking at both years. So you can see there, actually had a negative net position in both years, but a favorable increase this year compared to the prior year. As a reminder, that negative net position is entirely driven by the portion of the net pension liability and net OPEB liability that is allocated to the TV. So that's why you see that large deficit there. That's why your liabilities are significantly higher than your assets. As you look at the income statement side of things, you'll see revenues decreased slightly this year, but the expenses decreased by an even more significant amount. The majority of that was due to some changes on the pension and OPEB side, and that decrease in liability being reflected here. But there were also some changes within the station that resulted in some additional expense decreases. So all of that said, you ended up with a change in net position of a positive $345,000 this year on the TV side. On FM, again, similar format as TV. Here you see the net position at the end of the year was approximately $514,000 positive. You do still have a portion of the net pension and OPEB liabilities flowing through FM as well. It just has less of a hit as compared to the TV. But that is, again, why that's the majority of the liabilities that are included for FM. As you look at the income statement side again, you actually see a slight increase in revenue this year. The majority of that was related to some investment returns, whereas last year there was some investment loss. Then on the expense side, again, you see some decrease there. And again, a majority of that is related to pension and OPEB changes that are flowing through. Overall, though, a positive change in net position of almost $500,000. Next slide. These next two slides go through just some communication that we're required to disclose. And so you may recall we do this on the university side as well. Just outlining, again, our responsibility is to go through an audit and provide an audit opinion on these. It's management's responsibility for the actual financial statements themselves. There were no new significant accounting policies or accounting estimates this year. Nothing to report there. As I mentioned, these were clean financial statements, so we had no material weaknesses or significant deficiencies in internal controls to report. If you move ahead to the next slide, there were also no corrected or uncorrected misstatements on either entity. So again, that's a good thing that the financial statements that were presented to us is what you're seeing. So there weren't any audit adjustments posted or proposed. And then no other significant difficulties, disagreements, no other consultations, really no other issues to report. So overall, very clean and a good process this year again. So appreciate Mr. Brinkley and Ms. England and everyone else's participation throughout the audit process on both TV and FM. I think it went very smoothly this year given the circumstances. Next slide. So before I jump into this, does anyone have any questions on TV, radio? Okay. Just want to make sure. So on the NCAA, as you may recall, we do a required agreed upon procedures. So this is required, as you can see here, by NCAA Constitution. And there are currently 53 revenue testing procedures, 65 expense testing procedures, 3 additional minimum procedures on those on the schedule, and then there are 12 minimum procedures for what they call other reporting. And so those you'll see listed throughout here. These, again, are all standard testing procedures that are required by NCAA. So every Division I university in the country goes through these same agreed-upon procedures and is required and subject to the same testing procedures. Next slide, please. So the first schedule you'll see in the report is the schedule of revenues and expenses. And the first slide, and we don't have it here, but the first schedule is the schedule of revenues. The next page is the schedule of expenses. Again, very prescriptive format here. So the NCAA requires that the revenue is broken down into these 19 categories, and the expenses are broken down into the 22 categories that are included there. This, again, is just for consistency of reporting as you're looking across Division I universities. With that being said, everyone has a little bit different way of maybe how they classify some of those things, so just keep that in mind if you are looking at other universities. High-level information here, your revenues and expenses for fiscal year 20 were $31.5 million compared to 2019 of about $30.8 million. So you saw a slight increase there. On the direct institutional support, this is one that often gets brought up as a question. That was about $14.1 million this year versus about $13.5 million in the prior year. And what this really reflects is essentially the difference between the revenues and expenses. So how much of the support the university is providing towards athletics. But one of the key things to mention here is, you know, $14 million is a fairly large number. Out of that, about $6.1 million of that is athletic student aid. So the student aid portion of that is also flowing through the 14.1. So it's not as if you're, you know, writing a check for $14 million. This is a variety of different expenses that are flowing through, including the student aid, which is the largest. Next slide, please. I wanted to go through just a few of the revenue and expense procedures and really highlight the ones where we had what I'll call either exceptions or some additional information or variances. And so here you'll see in revenue there were three different procedures where we had some variances that were identified. Procedure 5 is looking at net sales per ticket. And looking at the report for that and comparing it to the schedule of revenues. When we looked at that, there was a variance of about $5,000. That, from our standpoint, is considered immaterial. That's in comparison to about $2.4 million of total ticket sales, so a very immaterial amount overall. Procedure 12 is very similar as we're looking at indirect institutional support. The variance was shown of about $6,000 compared to about $3.7 million in total indirect institutional support. So, again, an immaterial difference between the supporting schedule and what was actually reported. Then procedure 41 was the last variance that we had here. And this is really just a timing difference. So it's a difference in when you actually receive the IMG royalty revenue versus when it was actually recorded as revenue. So there was about $11,000 timing difference there. So again, nothing to be alarmed of, but it is something that is reported just because it doesn't match exactly. You didn't collect all of it in FY20. All the other revenue procedures had either no exceptions or were not applicable. On the expense side, much easier to go through. There were no issues to report or no variances to report. All the procedures had either no exceptions or, again, some of them are not applicable based on the NCAA guidelines. Next slide. If we look at the additional procedures, again, these are kind of broken down into two different categories, the additional minimum procedures. So in procedure one here, this is looking at the compliance sup or the compliance assistant in the university and comparing the amount of student aid that is provided and looking at that and comparing it to the support. And so there was an immaterial variance of about $55,000. And again, when you're comparing that to about $6.1 million of student aid, fairly insignificant. And that is a cumulative variance. So there were some pretty small variances that really accumulated across all the different sports. All of the other procedures in this category either, again, had no exceptions, were not applicable. And the same thing on the minimum procedures for other reporting items. We had no exceptions there, or they were not applicable. And I believe that covers everything that I had. If you want to go to the next slide. Anyone have any questions on the NCAA procedures? And again, I would just thank Randy and everyone else for their assistance throughout the process on the NCAA side as well. So if no other questions, thank you very much. And
all right. Thank you, Brad. Does anybody have any questions or comments on FB1 and FB2?
Jason, I have a quick comment. I appreciate Brad and everyone else at Crow that has helped us. Our audits are particularly important for the grant money that we receive from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, and the thoroughness that they have approached this with has assisted us in many ways in reinforcing a very positive relationship with CPB. So I appreciate that. And also, please, for the record, note my abstention on FB1 due to conflict. Thanks.
I'd like to congratulate Regent Brinkley on a clean report and obviously a good managerial job that he does overseeing those agencies.
And Mr. Chairman, I second what Phil just said. I was going to say the same thing. Great work on part of the team. And Brad, as a member of this committee, I appreciate a boring presentation regarding our audit report. So thank you very much.
That's right. That's right. The more boring, the better.
That's exactly right. So you did great. Thank you. But that's a great job on part of the team and the athletic department as well, given the NCAA issues as well.
That's the other thing I was going to say is just to recognize the staff work that went in on our side behind the scenes to make sure that this comes out clean for us is it reflects a tremendous amount of work that can get overlooked and just how quickly we see these things. So I thank them for that.
Okay. Nobody else has any comments or questions. I'll entertain a motion to approve FB1.
So moved.
All right. I got a first. Do I got a second?
Second.
All right. All in favor of approving FB1, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? All right. FB1 passes. If you hear anything in the background, my wife has apparently scheduled a furniture delivery for the middle of this meeting, so I apologize. All right, does anybody on FB2, I'll entertain a motion on FB2.
So moved.
All right.
Second.
Thank you, Mark. All right, thank you, David. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right, the motion carries. The next item on our list is FB3, the acceptance of the Statement of Revenue and Expenditures for the 6 months ending December 31st. Susan, do you have a presentation on that?
Yeah, just briefly. So next slide, please. So I apologize. I just noticed a typo on this. All of this second quarter report is just excellent news for the university. I'm really proud of how the campus is how we're tracking on revenue and how the campus is doing on meeting our expenditure budget targets. So first off, on the revenue highlights, overall we're at total revenue 71% of the annual budget as opposed to 61% this time last year. So great news on that. If you drill in a little bit further, excellent news on student tuition and fees. We're actually at 6 months in, we're at 97.9% of budget for our tuition and fees as opposed to 89% at this time last year. So you can see where fall tuition is tracking well over budget, and which is excellent news. We did not see what we anticipated as far as what we called the COVID impact. And just to remind everyone, we budgeted 200 additional freshman students and ended up bringing in over 400. And that bringing in those additional freshman students actually helped close the gap as we anticipated our smaller classes moving through the pipeline would see a 4% decline in tuition. So as far as tuition and fees, excellent news. State appropriation, again, that's excellent news. In our original budget, we were anticipating a 10% reduction in state appropriation related to COVID. That did not come to pass. We are anticipating no mid-year reductions at this point. Grants and contracts are up from prior year, primarily due to the increase in CARES funding. And auxiliaries, I think, as we anticipated, is down over prior year, primarily related to COVID and its impact on our campus auxiliaries. So next slide, please. On the expenditure, again, don't let the fact that we're tracking slightly higher, 52.9%, this year is primarily just the impact of our budget being so much lower than it was in the prior year. Most of that slight increase is directly related to an increase in financial aid spend with our new scholarship programs and some timing of some spend and expenses compared to prior year. We had some units, campus units, that paid some invoices that could have been paid in the spring semester. They went ahead and paid them all in December, which we weren't anticipating. So again, absolutely no news. The great news on the expenditure side, as I said, campus is doing a great job, and actual spending is down almost $8 million over prior year. So that's the highlights on the, and I can actually say very highlights on the second quarter statement of revenue and expenditures. So, Jason, I'm happy to take any questions.
This is George. I don't have a question. It probably is more of something I'd love to see later. Is great. This is a great report. Great that our enrollment is up. I hope that as a university, though, we really look at our freshman class coming in after an interrupted senior year and how they actually do academically and how they, and even anything we can address socially as our own campus. I've done a lot of reading and I'm really concerned about the break of social relationships that we've had as a result of the pandemic we're going through, and everybody, I can't wait to just get out of the house and I just want to get into something. And so, but I am concerned whether it's a mental health capacity or anything that is impacting that group of people. So just making sure that we're really tracking and seeing what's happening with them and how that compares to when a typical freshman class that comes in. That's the only thing. So again, great report, excited about what's going on, but am worried about what it actually looks like, not so much from a financial standpoint, but actually what our students look like and how they're doing at the end, after the first semester, given what they're coming off of.
Eugene McKinney, might I address that, please?
Yes,
please. George, it's the absolute right question, and we're going to bookend the meeting with the other part, which is the academic progression, particularly of that first-year class, but all of our students. My great concern last summer, last fall, was for our students who were not able to be self-directed, didn't have the ability to support themselves at home with online learning exclusively, that we created an opportunity for them to be here. And so I'm really proud of the work of our faculty, all the support staff that created the opportunity for them. Fully, two-thirds of our courses are in-person and hybrid, with only about a third being online. And so when you look at the retention rates of that first-year class, we're focused on making sure that we supported them in a way that we've not had to support other courses, other students in other classes. And so one of the things we see is the retention, and we track it, it's that retention rate, but also disaggregating it. And so we're focused in on where it is we might be doing less well than we have in a typical year and where we're overperforming. And so one couple things jump out. Our most at-risk students are the students who are most at risk. And that it bears itself out in those data. And then the other thing that I will say, and this is why coming back in person was so important to us, and I think it demonstrates the importance of the in-person experience and that WKU experience that we create for all of our students, is that students who've had in-person and hybrid instruction are persisting in some ways at a higher rate than previous years because of all the other support we put in place for them, including financial. The place where we're challenged are those students who did not have in-person instruction, who did it completely online. They haven't had the totality of the experience that they hoped, particularly in the freshman year. It's a little bit different sophomore through senior. And so we're having to work really, really hard, not just to get those young people back in the spring semester, but also to make sure that they do have that in-person experience in the second semester. And so Ethan will talk about that in his report, but I wanted to address it directly now. I will tell you this, our retention rate for freshmen is even with our record-setting retention rate from last year, which is remarkable given where we are. So I stole a little bit of the news that Ethan will make, but there's much more to come.
Well, and I appreciate you saying that, and I look forward to hearing from Ethan. When I looked at the attachment you sent out yesterday, I think it was yesterday, that had the sort of successes, I was really impressed with the numbers. But still really worried about that group, because I really think we're going to have to watch. And I look at it not only from a student perspective, like, you know, our faculty and staff, I mean, everybody's been through a lot. And then just thinking about, do we get whenever we get to whatever the new normal is, when we get to that, are there little things that we're seeing that are underlying that we may have to provide additional support or just be aware of it as we go forward? So thank you very much. Appreciate it.
Okay. Any other comments or questions? All right. Hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve FB3.
So moved.
Thank you, George. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, David. All in favor say aye.
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 Aye. All opposed? All right. The motion carries. And that takes us to our last item on the agenda, approval of the personnel actions. Susan, do you have anything you'd like to say about those?
Well, just briefly, the actions, of course, were attached to the agenda. I met with Regent Brinkley and Regent Spiller a couple of days ago. We went through the reports. Nothing really stands out. I think the only thing to mention is that our additional payments are down over prior year, which we would expect when we see our expenses down. So other than that, I really don't have any other comments, Jason.
All right. Thank you, Susan. Does anybody on the board have a question or comment about the personnel actions? Okay. If hearing none, I'll entertain a motion to approve FB4.
So moved.
Thank you, Linda. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, George. All in favor of approving FB4, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed? All right. The motion carries, and that is the end of our agenda for the Finance and Budget Committee.
Thank you, Jason. That's great news all the way around, and great questions and comments. We next turn.